Every single day I feel it.
Artlist.io.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yo. Working like I never knew I'm blessed, yo. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back. It's your boy C-Rock here in That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Let's do this, man. I got another great guest for you, as always. I'm always bringing the good ones to you. We got a great topic to talk about today. And if you got kids in the car, cover up their ears. Most kids don't listen to this show anyway, but this is going to be a good one, guys, because I really want to talk about the ingredients that have gone into making Jackie Christensen who he is. But I also want to talk about what he's working on now. Him and his wife have an awesome project they're working on. And, you know, I think some of the stuff we're going to talk about is really important to helping you live the life of your dreams and have the marriage and relationships of your dreams. And I'm excited to talk about this. Jackie, from a shy teen in Tucson to a Marine Corps maverick, his journey is a wild ride. Dubbed Jackie T in the military, he globetrotted, managed strip clubs, and protected diplomats in war zones. Love found him in Jerusalem, but an injury brought him back to Phoenix. There, he and his wife, Tyla, tackled real estate and lit up the fashion world with UV-responsive fabrics through their daring clothing line, Nerdy and Dirty. Now he's on a podcast mission, fearlessly tackling taboos and pushing boundaries, one conversation at a time. And I'm thankful that I get to work with them and push this mission out at That One Agency. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, C-Rock. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and, brother. This is a long time coming. I mean, we've been talking for like at least a year, and you guys have been putting some things together. And the funny thing is, for the audience, I want to tell a quick story. I was in Philly. I forget where I was heading. I think I was heading to the West Coast. And I'm in the American Express Lounge, chilling. And I heard somebody come up to me and said, C-Rock, is that you? And who else is it? None other than Jackie. And him and Tyler were in the same lounge. And on the East Coast, when they live in Arizona, it's just weird. And we had just talked that week on the phone or on Zoom or something. I thought that was wild, man. So great story. But Jackie, welcome to the show, man. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah. So it's interesting what you're talking about. I never used to be a superstitious human being. But the older I get, I feel like it's coincidental. We just had kind of had a breakthrough with this product that I'll share later in the show. And who did we see? None other than Mike sitting right there. And, you know, we had signed with you guys about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer. So I feel like it was, in a way, the universe kind of saying, hey, you have a way for people to hear your story, see your product, and maybe get the word out. So
So here's the thing. I've studied quantum physics, quantum resonance. I've gotten real deep with some things about energy and frequency. Waves, everything's energy. And what I found is, okay, that frequencies will attract other frequencies. It's resonance and it pulls things together. Okay. And a lot of people hear this thing like law of attraction and all this other stuff, but then nobody ever goes really deep into it and breaks it down into like something like a fifth grader can understand. But really, I see it too many times not to believe it and not to see it. And I've studied the actual concept of it. And so, yeah, man, it's real. And it also works in the bad way, where if you start losing confidence and you start getting down and this and that, you start to have the world and universe actually turns against you. It's a wild phenomena, but it happens. And, you know, I take advantage of it every moment I get. I have a good heart. I've worked on myself. I'm ethical. And all of a sudden, I keep getting surrounded by great people, man, that are on great missions. So I used to think superstitious too, but now it's just a fact. It's law.
It really is. Yeah, the more you open your eyes, the more you're actually bringing some of that stuff in. And the energy you put out, absolutely right, is the energy that you're bringing in, the energy that people are attracted to you. I've went through one or two down times where I was probably looking for the wrong kind of things in life. And that's what I found. And I would never have like a nice run-in with somebody that could have been to my benefit, you know? And the more you try to change your life around, change your perspective. And I have a couple of reasons, which maybe we'll hit on later on in the show, as to why my perspective on life has sort of switched around. And I don't know if you have any one of those instances, Mike, where it's like a poignant moment. This is where it changed, to where maybe you weren't looking for something that was so much play and more along the lines of just bettering yourself, your product, and your brand.
Yeah, 100%, man. Well, before we go down any rabbit holes, let me ask the question I start to show off with every time. And that's, Jackie, what are you made of?
Whew, that's a tough question. And if you're my wife, you'll answer it one way. If you're my mother, you'll certainly answer it another way. I'm going to answer it the most honestly that I can. I would say 20 parts chaos and one or two parts luck. And the chaos comes from impulsivity. But I believe with some impulsiveness, you can get a creative aspect with that. So innovation doesn't always come from a well-thought-out plan. It's, can we do this? And, you know, sometimes, occasionally, the broke clock, you know, that whole theory, right, twice a day. And I got lucky with the product that we have. And I also got lucky with my wife. So that's my two times. It's all downhill
from
here.
Yeah, and I got to say, you guys are awesome. You know, sometimes I'll meet people and I'm like, yeah, the husband's cool, but that wife, man, she's a pain in the ass. I'll never tell him that. But I'll be like, how the hell does he live? But in your case, you guys are awesome. And I'm you know, it's a pleasure and an honor to have the opportunity to be friends with you guys and work with you and further develop the relationship. So, Jackie, I got to ask you, though. So you started out in Arizona and then, you know, take us back. I don't know where you want to start, but like everybody's got a story. Take us back to that and then how you ended up, you know, shy teen, like it says here, into the Marine Corps and doing what you did.
Yeah. So I'll take you back. Like, I feel like almost a boomer now. Like I'm taking massage therapy class kind of as a hobby. And I realized that I'm the old guy. I'm the old guy. Whenever I took a class in college and I saw the guy that was kind of losing his hair, I'm that guy now. You know,
they call you Pappy. Is that your nickname there? Do they call you Pappy?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to give him any ideas. Right. So, I went into the Marine Corps, 2003. I remember working at Walmart and the Iraq War was kicking off. And I thought, well, that sounds fun. I don't think there's a whole lot of homework in the Marine Corps. And I didn't want any of that in college, right? So, you know, from the Marine Corps, a wild ride there. And I'll just summarize that by saying it was fun, mostly sucked, but it was fun. Got out and I was one of the fortunate ones to be recalled back in the Marine Corps during the big push. But I ended up getting the prerequisites for a job, which ended up kind of determining the next 12 years of my life. And I did private protection. I don't know if you're familiar with a company called Blackwater, but those were the first guys that signed my check. They were already making the transition over to, I think, USTC or XC. That's what they were called. But that led me to Afghanistan. And I was working for the U.S. Embassy over there, taking diplomats in and out of very weird areas. And, you know, I've driven for Nancy Pelosi. I don't know if you're a fan or not, but that, in my opinion, that woman says the word fabulous way too much, especially in a place of the world like Afghanistan. But I skipped over something briefly in the interim between, you know, Marine Corps out and Marine Corps being kind of conscripted back in. I worked at a couple of strip clubs. So, and I was fortunate to do
was
so.
Was that in the United States? In the United States?
Yeah, that was overseas? In the United States. So, I dated a lady who connected me with a guy. And, you know, when I had gotten out of the Marine Corps the first time, you know, I'd been in Iraq. So somebody saying, hey, you could work at a place where women might take off their clothes every single night. And I hadn't seen a woman in, you know, 8 months. Sign me up, buddy. You know, so you get a lot of experience there. Some of it, okay. And some of it, you know, you have to take it to the grave. And maybe I have one or two stories that I can tell you about later. Yep,
that's where we're going to start. Okay, let's hold off on the protection, the Blackwater thing for a sec. And let's get into that. Like, what kind of things, tell some stories or some lessons maybe you learned or...
I tell you what, so here's something I was telling my wife yesterday, because the industry I'm in now, which I guess we'll get into, I think if I'm thinking back, it really has the foundation there. So yeah, I'm 21 when I got out of the Marines, because I was 17 when I joined. And you're going to work every night and you're seeing women dressed in their fishnets and they're dressed in lingerie and they have to look good. And you get kind of comfortable. Now, I won't say that you're numb to the female form, but it becomes less and less of like this treat, you know. Right. And of the industries I work, I say it wasn't the grimiest industry. I worked as a used car salesman once. Not proud of it, but I tell you what, the strip club industry was far and away less nasty than that industry was at least, you know, my experience. But yeah, late nights, I'm trying to think of something that won't run your time out. Dang. Give me a second on the strip club stories. I know I got a couple of doozies for you. One of them, I tell you what, I'll collapse this, but I had to escort a gentleman who was older, because one of the statutes that governed what we were doing said that no either dancer or patron could excrete any bodily fluid at any time. And I came into a private room, and the guy had sauce on his pants. Mm-hmm. Better to say, right? And sorry if that offended any of the viewers or listeners out there. So we had to be escorted out. This man is in his mid-60s. So we take him outside, and I'm waiting outside with a guy. And 10, 15 minutes goes by, and I hear this squeaky automobile. It rolls right up. And who gets out of the car? An 85-year-old woman. She had to be in the 80s, maybe 90s. And it was his mother. This guy called his mother because he messed his pants up in a strip club, and he lives with his mom, and this must have been midnight, man. I couldn't believe it. I mean, you can't make this crap up. So
did she give him hell?
Yes. It was as if you know, a 40-year-old mother was yelling at her 9-year-old kid. It was some people.
Oh man. So then you get into private, I guess security with Blackwater, what have you, or something like that.
Yes.
And then by the way, do they pay you a salary, and then do they cover all your expenses too? So that's kind of like making more money than the salary, or is it different? How's that work?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is 2010 when I got on with them. So, they had already gone through, some issues of their own. That's why they had to do a name change. So you get paid a daily rate, which it was $500 a day. And back then, that was all the money in the world, especially to somebody, I think it was 23 years old. And it was perfect. I tell people I spent six and a half years in Afghanistan. But every 3 months, they give you a month and a half off and they fly you anywhere. So if you do the math on that, 120 days of the year, I'm in Australia, I'm wherever I want to go. Granted, Afghanistan was kind of like this prison, because it's not like you're living in an apartment out in town. You're confined to a camp, they call them. But a lot of weird stuff you see there. Everybody watches the news. It is as bad as you imagine if you're watching some of this stuff. I don't want to soft hand anything going on with that country. They have plenty of problems before we came to that place. And I imagine they're going to have plenty of problems after. So just a big mess. But from there, I segued right over to Jerusalem, which was a different company, same kind of work, but much better living. And Jerusalem, I don't know where you want me to start, because it is a fantastic city, unlike anything on this planet, and completely unexpected, sir.
And I know Afghanistan was bad, and you always had to, you know, be on guard and all that. But also Jerusalem could be like that, and more nowadays, today's time over there, right? But like, what was it like there as far as feeling secure and activity wise?
So I will say Jerusalem is this odd place, and I'll go right into the security. So let's just talk about a bar over here. You go to the bar, like I'm in Phoenix. And if I leave my wallet on the table and I go to the bathroom, I know my wallet is not going to be there when I come back, right? Mm-hmm. Jerusalem, you know, except for the onesies and twosies, there is no petty crime there. You do not have to worry about walking down the street and maybe somebody wanting to mug you, or you're never looking behind your back. The flip side of the coin is, you know, every now and again, there's one or two rocket attacks, and now it's even worse. So the last time I was there was 2021, and that was during their last conflict. The friends I still have over there, not a whole lot of stuff is going on in Jerusalem, because it's considered a holy site for all the religions over there. Judaism, Christianity, which is less than 1% over there right now, and Islam, they all regard that as a special city. So the rocket attacks that do happen, they try to direct them away from that area, and that includes Hamas. They just understand that if a rocket landed in Al-Aqsa, which is their big holy site there, that Hamas would be facing the might of the rest of the Arab community, and they don't want that. So they play it safe. They direct everything toward Tel Aviv whenever they're doing any of these attacks. But I can go into the fun stuff, which is the nightlife.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah,
because I think that aligns with your product.
Yeah, absolutely. It is supposed to be this city that the Bible, both Old and New Testament, kind of revolves around. So you would think it's not what it is. I will tell you, I've been to a couple of cities around the world, and it's filled with the most sin that I've ever seen. It's a college town without a college, without a real college, you know, without an ASU. There have been times, and I'm sure my former employer would not like to hear this, where I've left the bar at 9 a.m., walked right to the embassy and checked in my weapon and went to work.
So, gotcha. Yeah.
And my wife from there, so that was an interesting place. It's part of our story. It's special to us.
And so do you think it's because, like, a lot of the kids grew up in a more conservative environment? And then just like kind of like the Amish, right? They have this Rumspringa where they're 16 and they let them go out and find out if they want to come back or not. Do you think it's because they live so conservatively as they're growing up, and then as they get older, they just got to let loose?
So yeah, the mindset changes actually depending on what group of people you belong to over there. So the old city of Jerusalem, which I think is what people typically think of, like Jerusalem, like this old, you know, old brickwork, and you have the Roman period and the Turk period, and it's all built on each other. That is maybe 5% of the city. The rest of it, I can compare it to maybe like a Tucson, except a bit more walkable. You don't need a car to live in that city. Now, I would say from a conservative standpoint, there are very religious Jewish women that have their own Rumspringer, and they'll tell you, when I was a single man over there, they'll talk to you on Tinder and tell you right out the gate that, hey, this is not going to be forever. I'm going to marry a Jewish man, and I'm not Jewish, but let's have a little bit of fun. And they're quite forward over there. So for any single man, you're looking for a vacation destination, hold off 1 or 2 years because it's a little bit hot over there right now as far as kinetic activity, but it is a great place to kind of stretch your legs, in a manner of speaking, and you could really have a good time. So as far as
all three legs.
As far as everybody else, like my wife grew up quite conservative. So she's part of the Christian minority to where it's less than 1% over there. So it's only a couple of thousand people in the old city that are actually Christians, and they have to stick together because the Jewish majority and the Muslim, if you want to call it a minority, it's almost the population is almost 1-to-1 when you get especially near the old city of Jerusalem. The Christians are kind of stuck in the middle. So, you know, the parents raise their daughters, I would say, quite conservatively, and because it's easy to make a wrong move to where we don't frown on somebody who's going to marry somebody from a different religion. At least, you know, the whole of our society over here, it's very much frowned upon over there. And you need a really good reason. If you're a Christian woman, you're going to date a Muslim man, or a Muslim girl has got to date a Jewish man. It's extremely rare if it's even happening at all right now. So there's real segregation that goes on, and that is by choice. Now, if you want to talk about government implementation of making it, for lack of a better word, an apartheid state in some areas, you absolutely witnessed that.
And then how did you and Tala meet through all that?
Funny story. So the first time we actually met, so we've been together about 3.5 years. The first time we actually met was 5 years ago. She shot me a dirty look in the gym, and I didn't get over that for 2 years. So 2 years later, we had a mutual friend, and I was going through a wild phase in my life, and our mutual friend kind of kept us apart. So like,
wait a minute. Prior to the dirty look, were you like in the gym checking her out?
And yeah, she's a good-looking lady. And one of those girls that spends 2 hours stretching in the gym. Okay. So, I mean, what are you doing? Is it really tight, your hamstrings, or you advertising? I don't know. I'm married to her now. The hamstrings are tight. So
so then 2 years go by. And then, like, so what happens?
what happens is the mutual friend that was like, he was doing the right thing by keeping us separated. I was going through a wild phase, and she's a very responsible woman and a conservative woman at that. I waited till he went on vacation, and then I snuck right into her DMs, and I used the excuse that we were trying to find a lost cat. And she met me. She took the bait, so to speak, and we started rapping, and that's how it happened. It was tough. So here's the kicker, too. Her father works directly for the Pope. So he's not a priest. They wanted somebody who was not affiliated with the Catholic Church. They're Eastern Orthodox Christians. But because I think, I don't want to spill any too much of their beans, but I think the church was under some kind of scrutiny about that position. Mm-hmm. And they wanted somebody who wasn't a bishop, wasn't a cardinal, they could bring in and manage the finances for that entire area. So he oversees, I think, four separate countries, and the money that goes to the schools, that goes to the churches, and all the church-funded projects over there. So I had to be on my P's and Q's the first couple of times meeting them, because as you walk into the house, there's a church with, or there's a picture with him with, you know, two popes ago, the pope before this last pope and this pope. So, my hands were at my side. I didn't use any one-syllable words that were four letters that we're not supposed to use. And it was interesting. Awesome people, too. Just laid back.
And you're a good dude, but you were in a wild streak at that point, right? So, like, do you think she was kind of looking for a bad guy?
I think in some way, I don't think anybody would say I'm a bad guy.
Not a bad guy, but you know what I mean.
Would definitely say I'm involved. Maybe one or two ex-girlfriends might say I'm a bad guy. I'll be honest there. But impulsivity, and my spectrum of what I think is acceptable experimentation was definitely different than what she had. I'll say this, and I'll just braze over this. We were walking my dog for the first time. It was like maybe our second date. And she says, I just don't believe that there's really any reason for narcotics, weed, or any of that stuff. And by then, I definitely tried one or two of the things. I'd done it irresponsibly, and now going older, I know how to do them responsibly, and that there's a person, or there's a time and place for at least some of that activity. So in my mind, I was like, challenge accepted. Let's see if we can't figure some stuff out and spice this up. And sure enough, I think with anything that people are alien to, it's the way you present it. It's the patience at what you do it to. And maybe she was a one-off, but it definitely gave me confidence in my ability to kind of persuade somebody in the way that was going to be for their benefit. And I think if you ever had her on the podcast, I'm sure you would. She wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah. And then so from there, you guys hit it off. You keep going on with the relationship, build it upon it. And then before you know it, you start to see some commonality with, not like living as conservative as she grew up. And also, and as you witness the other people in that area, and so then it led to now where you guys are, you know, creating a clothing line together, Nerdy and Dirty.
Yes.
For people that aren't like so conservative, right? Going, having fun, going to events and different things. Take us into that.
So funny, I'll say one more thing about Jerusalem about this, and it has to do with how we segued into Nerdy and Dirty, where my thoughts were at. So I don't know how explorative people are when they like what they see on a woman. So going back to strip clubs, I was used to seeing women that were in the fishnets, that were in the sexy lingerie before they actually did their number. And what I noticed that not on date one, but date two, to where you feel comfortable with the woman, you know, it's going to be like a nice evening where a bottle of wine's out. I would suggest, hey, bring something sexy over. And I feel like, I don't know whether women want to play it conservatively and not give off that, for lack of a better word, slut kind of feeling. So maybe they just wore the red panties or something like this. That never did it for me. So I kind of developed this strategy to where I bought like a bunch of women's lingerie, you know, from Amazon, and I had it inside my closet. And the way I would convey it is like, hey, my ex-girlfriend left, and she left just a bunch of this stuff, and it was all in packages. And I would display that as, hey, try this out. You know, when they we get ready to do whatever, and they just had red underwear on, and that's what they thought was like the racy for the night. We were going to have like a fun night together. It never went off without nobody ever said no to that. So for any single guys listening, maybe I was lucky, but I feel like
Jackie's tricks.
I had it ready, and you know, as long as it's in the packaging, nobody wants to wear anybody else's old underwear.
Yeah.
But I had the fishnets ready in a package, and they're like, okay, slip this right on. So I'm sure there was a little bit more soft-handed language that went along with the persuasiveness on this.
Yeah.
But that was my strategy. So from there, I always had it in my head, lingerie. And if we're going to how this business started, I think you and I had had a conversation that I went to real estate after I went, after I was in Israel, right? So real estate is what it is, and you have to be creative with getting clientele. And one of the things we did, we put up stands in these Christmas markets. And I bought a shirt press. So if somebody wanted a shirt, I can make them the shirt and I can give them my real estate pitch. Hey, do you guys own? Do you guys rent? And see if I can get a prospective client that way. And nobody wanted the nice shirts. So I made some like funny shirts, a little bit PG-13 shirts. And those are the ones that sold. So it kind of gave me this idea. Well, let's see how racy we can kind of get some of this clothing. And the more my ideas kind of started to go in that direction, I found out that I had somewhat of a proclivity for designing this stuff. And going down the rabbit hole, I didn't want to be like everybody else, because if you go on Shein.com or Temu, they're all doing the same stuff and you can get it for $5. So it's the market's flooded. What can we do that's different? And turns out I found something different. And
by the way, the brand that I created, that one, right? It's all about that. It's all about, see, I came from that mortgage industry, real estate industry, and there's no differentiation. It's a lot of commoditization of the business, right?
Yeah.
And then everybody's got to race to the bottom of their rates or their fees, and everything's raced to the bottom. Well, the way you don't race to the bottom with the money that you can make is differentiation, becoming that one. And that's what you were going through, that process. I love it.
Absolutely. And I like what you got going on here, Mike, because I feel like maybe you had the sense, I feel the relationships you build there are transaction. You know, the people that are in there the longest, especially if you're not in a city, my grandparents did it, and they know every single customer they ever sold a house to. But I feel like in a big city like Phoenix, you know, you have to race to the next thing. So you can't really get to know the person that you're working with. So I think probably with both of our journeys, obviously you've been on your journey with something separate from the real estate industry a lot longer than I have. You're finding ways to connect with people. And it's awesome. In a way, I'm going to try my best to do what you do and be personal with this brand. But innovate the way you want to. Yeah.
So tell us what you're doing to become that one in this industry.
So what we have is, I'll tell the idea that I had. So, you know, lingerie, you can find it anywhere. And the idea that one of my friends and I were kicking around, we were talking about tattoos that people get that have like UV ink inside of it, right? And, you know, somebody will get something and maybe it looks, I don't know, maybe it doesn't look like anything in the sunlight. Maybe you could just see the scarring. And then when they go into a club, I think the fluorescence shows. And I thought, what a nifty idea that would be if we could do that on clothing. And in this busy world, especially in, you know, a big city, I'm thinking of, you know, the single mom that has to go grocery shopping, then pick up the kids from, you know, school, drop them off at soccer practice, pick them up, drop them off at the babysitter. Does she have time to get ready? Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. I think the allure of my product is that she was wearing the party clothes the entire day and nobody knew it. So I bond UV reactive pigments into my clothing. They never wash out. And I can show you kind of an example here. I don't have a hanger, so we're just going to have to pretend like I got some good stuff going on. And if you could see, there's nothing, except for the stuff that I've already put on there. But once I apply, so it lights right up, and I can get kind of crazy and very three-dimensional with the artwork here. So this is part of my party animal collection. And we have a few other things. My product is nerdy and dirty. So what I really want to go for is like the nerd in all of us, because I feel like that's kind of my route. I was a nerd, and especially in high school. So we have like the science nerd. And this represents like a double helix. And I'm not sure if you're able to see that. But in the club, this plays out perfectly. And I have this in mesh. So if women want to get really risque with the bra or the lack thereof that they wear when they're going to an event, it's interesting because you've never seen this before, and I certainly have. So especially when it comes to clothes, I feel like people are using these things. I know there's a couple of places that do like couples painting, and they paint the UV stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking the paint. Yeah,
yeah, but now this is kind of like controlled. This is stuff, and I can kind of do anything with it now, and was not an easy process to get to this.
I remember talking to you and you're like, oh man, we thought we had it and we had to fix this and we had to get that. It's an evolution, right? But I think that the things that are difficult, most people run away from. But if you keep leaning into it, you get to the point where you're like, man, I'm so glad I didn't give up.
Yeah. And honestly, I was right at the breaking point when this had happened. And I think it was running out of furniture in the house that I had ruined. So it's like we're down to our last table and I have chemical burn marks all over it. This project better work or I'm going to IKEA and getting a job. You know, I'm going back and getting a regular job again. So thank goodness it worked. We have leggings. We have I got a different kind of shirt for any kind of nerd you were. So I was a band nerd. I don't know if you did any of these kind of geeky things in high school, Mike. Yeah. What were you, Mike, in high school?
Well, I would say in college, it went more into college. Like high school, I was more athletic and focused on, school and sports. And then when I got to college, that's when I let loose. So into college, you know, they have I would go to the raves and, you know, house music and rolling and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, all right. You're not initiated when I started talking about the off the menu.
No. So I wrote a book called Rocket Fuel, and I put a little bit in there just to give people a little flavor of it. And I forgot my kids would possibly read the book one day, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, I am who I am. And, but yeah, no, I'm familiar with that kind of thing, the raves, the nightclubs, the party scenes, you know, all that.
Yeah, and I feel like for everybody, that it gets old after a while, but I certainly don't regret doing any of that stuff because it gets you perspective as opposed to maybe the politician that played it straight the entire time. And, you know, how good's that guy's judgment when it comes to something real that our country has to deal with when your perspective is limited? You know, you can only
Let's think about this for a second, though. Like most people that have this straight-laced appearance and image, they're the ones that people find out about later on that they like to wear, like men like to wear women's clothing or dress up or whatever the case is. So,
yes.
I mean, I believe most people, whether they show it or not, have a freak streak inside of them.
Yes.
You know, and let's be honest, guys. I mean, you might be able to point to some people that are very, very conservative, stayed that way their whole life and all that. But I gotta say, man, you know, and I think we should talk about real quick here the taboo of things, because there's definitely roads you can go down and ruin your life, right? We know that.
Absolutely.
But if you can find a lane that allows you to be that freak with your partner and openly be that way and enjoy and explore, I mean, it could make your relationship better.
So much better. My wife will attest to this, and it might be for a different show because she has so much to say on this topic. She never tried psilocybin mushrooms until her and I had met, and I had never tried them until 2020. Everybody had their own way where we dealt with COVID, depending on the city that you were in. But Jerusalem already had the infrastructure in place to lock us in our apartments, and that's what it was. So without that, I found a source there. And I'd never done narcotics where I worked, never. But I'm like, okay, all we have to do is check in once a day. I'm going to explore myself. And I, exactly what you said. Some things can lead you down a dark path. And, you know, I think that's why the DARE company, if you want to call that, was created to keep people from ruining their lives. But nothing has been more helpful to my development as a human being and my wife's development than that. So it's hard to convey that because it's not mainstream where things are helping people. But I think it's getting there. More and more information is out. And hopefully the perception, the public perception should change on at least some of these chemicals as the evidence changes. So
now I'm a bit of a free thinker.
Yeah.
And, you know, I start to think about, like, you know, I've lost some people recently, family, friends, kids to fentanyl. And I start to think to myself sometimes, I'm like, well, fentanyl, why the hell are people putting fentanyl in these drugs? And then I hear from people, well, because they can use less of it and it gets them there faster and this and that, and it's cheaper. And I also start to think about this. Let me run this by you. This is just something it crosses my mind, and I don't talk about it a lot, but what about the fact that possibly there's some mind opening that happens when you do things a certain way, whether it's mushrooms or whatever it is, okay? What if there's a way that it does that and it gets you thinking and seeing things in a different perspective? And it possibly creates more powerful beings. And those that are in power are concerned with that because it gives them less control over the population and or control of the narrative. And so they put things in drugs to kill people, to scare people from doing things. And they have more control over the population. I have respect and I have a lot of empathy for those. And like I said, I've lost people. So I don't want anybody to say, well, you know, you don't understand. Listen, I'm just throwing something out there. Is it possible that could be the case?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you in one way or the other, right? I think there is this thought out there, this hypothesis that possibly, you know, China is putting this in some of this stuff that we're using as like a, you know, a mixture to make some of these things that are, you know, I've never heard of mushrooms being laced with any of these really nasty chemicals, but certainly, you know, cocaine, we hear that all the time. I think Congress just had a hearing about this, and maybe there is a certain amount of sabotage that goes into it. I've done them all. And I will say, of all of them, that one, I think, has been the least productive in any means. I know you see that in movies and everything. I'm still trying to find a place for that one, but I'm not going to try too hard. So if the government is putting that to kind of dissuade the population, honestly, it's terrible. If you have a loved one and they've died or they've had serious medical complications because of this, it's an awful thing, but it is working to some effect, because a lot of my friends that were casual users, they're not purchasing any, or they're trying hard to find somebody that they trust, which is few and far between. So I don't want to give kudos to anybody for doing any of that stuff. Anytime you're getting something and you're expecting one thing, whether it's a product at the store and it's a dirty Tylenol that you're getting, or whether it's some kind of gray area substance that you bought from a guy on a street corner and it ends up putting you in the hospital. I think it's a terrible way to go. And I think it's a terrible strategy.
So then as we wind down here, first of all, I got another question for you, but where can people find this? Is it up and ready to go? Is it nerdydirty.com?
It's up and ready to go. I'm going to add a few more products today. I was going to show you one of these things near and dear to my heart. I was a bander growing up. So this is a top for women. Obviously, it's not my size, right? But so we got this stuff. Here she comes. She's a man eater by Hall & Oates. I don't know. I'm a boomer, so that's... And I tried to get this as Pac-Man the best I could. Believe me, it's just the lighting in here. When you wear this, you can distinguish everything. It's great. So I even had to buy the rights to the music.
Wow.
I don't want to get sued by that band. I don't even know if they're still alive.
Yeah, they're fighting amongst themselves right now, actually.
Huh?
They're fighting amongst themselves. I saw something recently where they were fighting amongst themselves recently about something. So, yeah, I think they have their attention on that.
That's so typical with bandmates, you know?
Yeah, you're good. So as we wrap this down, because I respect your time, and I could talk to you all day about this stuff, and we'll continue this conversation if Tala comes on and her perspective of it. But what do you guys do now as far as, you know, getting out there and doing different events, or, like, what is your thing to let your hair down now?
See, basically our life is revolving around events at the moment. So to bide my time, because this is unexplored space, I'm actually taking massage therapy. It's something I've wanted to do since I was younger. So that kind of keeps me going with the consistent here and there. When I'm not doing that, we have weekend events that we're doing. There's a place over here called Walter's Studio that we'll be renting space in and doing our hard opening, I think, or grand opening, really, in May. Right now, we're at a soft opening for any of your viewers or listeners that want to go on and purchase a few items and try it out. We're going to keep things at a moderate price just to get the exposure, just so you can see that it really is what it is. It's one thing to look at the website and you're like, what is this? But when I show it to anybody in public, when I bring the stuff to a bar, I'm sold out in a minute, Mike.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. And do you suggest couples get black lights in their rooms now? Go back to the old college
black
days.
Lights in your, yeah, listen, some of the stuff that I will be selling. So I have Nerdy and Dirty, and this is going to be my PG to PG-13 rated clothing brand. Geeky and Freaky will be opening next month, and that'll be for more of the lowbrow kind of stuff. More of the sexy stuff and a little bit, it's not as subtle. That's what we'll say.
Right. But people should get black lights in the room.
Get black lights. And if I have to suggest anything, so I didn't know that there was a difference in black lights. You want to buy the black lights that say 365 NM. And easy way to remember that, there's 365 days in a year. Don't get the black lights that say 400 or 420. That's not the right wavelength. You're not going to get everything that you really could see with some of this stuff. 365 nanometer black light, get them $20, $30. They're pretty cheap. And yeah, why not? So.
Go make it happen. Jackie, thanks for being here, man. Like I said, I could talk to you all day, but yeah. We got to end at some point. Guys, go to nerdyanddirty.com, and then Geeky and Freaky is coming soon. I don't know if it's out now, but Geeky and Freaky is the next phase of this. And if you want to know more, where can they find you on Instagram? Do you have an Instagram page right now?
Right now I'm at Jackie Pepperbottom, Jackie Rubs You will be opening up. It's a site I haven't loaded anything on it. That's going to be my massage therapy site. But Jackie Pepperbottom, and that's spelled E-R-I-E-J-A-C-K-I-E, and Pepperbottom.
So, gotcha. Well, thanks for being here, brother. And thanks for your, trusting us to do the job for you to help get this out, and your friendship, man. I appreciate you.
Absolutely, C-Rock. Take it easy, man.
Guys, that's Jackie Christensen, also known as Jackie Pepperbottom on Instagram. Go to nerdyanddirty.com, check it out. And if you have any questions, just DM them on Instagram, and or you can get them through me too. If you need to, you know, you can't find them or something, just hit me up at Mikey C Rock on Instagram. It's your boy C Rock. Thanks for being here. Make sure you go subscribe, like, do all the things to help us out. Get this podcast even further. We're already a top 1% podcast. Let's get it up into the top 0.5%, top 0.25%. I need your help to do that. And I appreciate you all. Keep bringing you great guests. And until next time, it's your boy C-Rock signing off from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Be that one. I wish I would die, I feel it.